Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads together as we seek our Lord in prayer. Gracious and eternal Father, we count it a privilege that we are able to come into your presence as your people. Lord, we thank you for the way in which you have opened up for us in and through the living Lord Jesus Christ. So hear us and help us now in our worship of you. Lord, we pray for one another at this time. We consider all that you are to us and have been, and all that you continue to be. And Lord, we pray that you'll draw near, especially to our dear sister Patsy at this time. We pray, Lord, that as she lies there in the Grange, we pray that she might hear your voice. We thank you that we were reminded recently that my sheep hear my voice. And Lord, we pray for dear Dave, that you'll undertake for him. May he know the sufficiency of your grace at this time. Lord, be with the family, with Liz and with Jonathan and the wider family. Surround them with your love and care. Help them, support them, we pray. Lord, we pray for our sister Carol. She resumes chemotherapy on Wednesday. And for others who are awaiting test results, Lord, we just lift each one to you. Lord, everyone is known to you, everyone with all their differing needs. And we're thankful that you're a God who cares deeply for his people. So be with us now. May our worship of you honor and glorify your holy and matchless name. We ask and pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Let's stand as we worship the Lord. Amen. To God be all the glory. So lovely to see you, especially if you are visiting with us and those who join us live via YouTube from home. We give you especially a very warm welcome as you gather with us. Now, as you can see, the Lord's Supper has been prepared for us. So following the preaching of God's word here this morning, we shall gather around the table to remember our Lord and Saviour. Now, this is an open table for all those who are walking in fellowship with the Lord and his people. And you are more than welcome, if you know him and love him and serve him, you are more than welcome to join with us. The communion offering for this month is for the open air mission. 12:15 today, there's Sunday Rock for children, there's Fab for teenagers. And God willing, at 6 o'clock this evening, we shall gather again for worship. And we'll continue to consider those pictures and those images there in the Old Testament that will help prepare our hearts as we approach Easter. And here are some additional announcements for the coming week. God willing, Tuesday at 9 a.m, the Art and Crafts Club will be meeting. 11:30 on Tuesday, there will be an open air in the city centre. This will be preceded with prayer here in the church at 10:30. 9:30 on Wednesday, God willing, will be our toddlers ministry. And at 7:30 on Wednesday, there will be an AECW cluster prayer meeting at Kyle Went. Thursday at 10:30 will be the ladies' Bible study. Friday afternoon at 4:30 will be Friday Rock for primary school age children. Saturday evening at 7:30 will be the Blast ministry for our teenagers. Then next Lord's Day, God willing, at 10:30 in the morning, 6 in the evening, we are looking forward to the visit from our dear friend and brother, Andrew Love of Llantrisant. There will also be at 12:15 Sunday Rock for children and Fab for our teenagers. Viv and I will be away this week for a few days, so please pray that the Lord will give us a time of rest and recuperation. Now, after the services today, you are warmly invited to remain with us for further fellowship over a cup of tea or coffee. And then we have some advance notices. The church annual general meeting for members only will take place, God willing, here in the church on Wednesday, the 29th of March at 7:30. The retiring deacons are Neil Jenkins and Isaac Lewis. Isaac will be retiring from the diaconate. Neil, however, is eligible for re-election. Nomination forms are in the welcome area and need to be returned to Ian or myself by Sunday, the 26th of March. There's also a ladies' brunch on Easter Saturday, that's April the 8th. And if you are interested in that, please add your name to the sign-up sheet in the welcome area. A creche is also available during the service for babies and children under the age of 4. Now, I understand Dave Pegg. Where's Dave Pegg? Is he here? Oh. It's got our children's talk. So, boys and girls, if you'd like to come to the front, and Dave has a short talk for you. You had me worried for a minute, Dave. Couldn't see you.
Right, excellent. It's always good to see you children here. The talk wouldn't be the same without you, would it? Can I sit in the middle there? Do you want to fit in, Samson? A bit? Excellent. Good stuff. Is this on?
Yeah, just about.
Okay, so, very special... Oh, you've got a turtle. That's lovely. Fabulous. Very special day today, isn't it? I hope you all remembered. It's National Chicken Day. No, it really is. Yeah, in fact, it's National Poultry Day. That includes other birds with feathers. No, it's not that one, is it? It's far more important than that. It's actually National Automatic Door Day. Did you know that? I googled this. It's national. Fancy as a day to celebrate doors that open automatically. It's true. You can Google it at home. No, okay, so what day is it today? Mother's Day. Mothering Sunday, yeah, good. Yes, Mother's Day. Did you all do cards? Yes? Maybe a breakfast in bed? You did a card as well? Nope, no cards. Just a kiss, maybe. Good, good. Okay, so Mothering Sunday, here we go. So it's celebrated. This is some mother's knowledge now. We'll hit you with some knowledge. three Sundays before Easter. It's the fourth Sunday in Lent, and it goes back to the 17th century, apparently, Mothering Sunday. And it was a day when people used to work in posh houses. Most people were in servitude, they were servants, and they had to be away from their families. And so on this Sunday, they would celebrate, and they would be allowed to go home to their families to spend it with their children. And that's where it starts from. So it's been going for a few hundred years, and I think it's been more popular now in the last 100 years as well again. So there we are. Some facts about mums. What I wrote down here. Here we go. Animal world, first of all. I reckon you're going to get this, Samson, because you're good on animals. So whales, blue whales, they're mammals like us. They nurse their young with milk from the mother. How much milk do you think a whale like that makes every single day? How much do you reckon? That much? Okay, so there's a litre bottle. You know milk? 4 litres in a milk bottle by that size? 4 mils? How many of those do you reckon in a day? Go first. Yeah, you can put cereal or Cocoa Pops in. Not so much the whales, but good answer. I like it. Hector?
3,000.
3,000, not quite. I'll tell you the... Go on.
10,000?
No, way less than that. No, no. So it's 227 litres, which means that's 54 of those bottles of milk like that every single day for its pubic. There we go. That's whales. And then earwigs. Who knows what an earwig is? Yeah, have you seen her earwigs? Well, apparently, mum gives her all for the young, because when the young are born, they eat the mother up. Lovely, lovely. So there we are. That's animals. So human mothers now. Here we go. There's 2 billion mums in the world today. 2 billion, 2,000 million. And how many... Well, I'll just tell the answer, because you'll guess too many. Every single second, 4.3, 4 1/3 babies are born. So, in the time it took me to say that just now, another 8 have been born. That's another 4 right there. And another 4. And, of course, if babies have been born, that's another 4 mothers as well, each there. So, there's millions of mums, and that was God's design for us, wasn't it? God made women to carry the children. And there's a special bond, isn't there, with mums and their children. Well, that brings us to our verse. Because it's from Isaiah, and it mentions mothers, because when God chose to show how much you could depend on him, not to leave you, not to forget about you, he chose the example of a mother and a child. So here's the verse. It's from Isaiah. I don't know if it's up or not. There we are, 49:15. The question was this, because Israel were going through a difficult time. God's people were going through a really difficult time, and they asked this question. They were saying, the Lord's forsaken me, that means left me, the Lord's forgotten me. Things were going so bad, I think the Lord must have forgotten me. That's what they're thinking. And this is what God said through Isaiah. He said this. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that's one who's drinking milk from the mother, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb, that's her baby? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved or written you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continued before me. So God, when he wanted to show how much he loves us, how much he will never forget us, how much you can rely upon him, he chose the example of how much a mum loves her child. How much would they really forget? Well, God says, yeah, sometimes, really sad cases, sometimes even a mother can forget her child. But God goes even beyond that. He's never going to leave us, that's forsaking, and he's never going to forget us. So that's a real encouragement today, isn't it? We can be grateful for our mums and all they do for us, but we can be even more grateful that we have a God who loves us so much that he'll never leave us and never forget us. Let's just have a little time of prayer. Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, on this day we do remember particularly our mothers. We thank you for your design in families. We thank you for our mothers and all the love they show. Heavenly Father, we thank you above all for your love that you have for us. Thank you that it exceeds even that of a mother for a child. And we thank you that you'll never leave us or forsake us. We pray for all the mothers here. We ask a blessing upon them and for these children too. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, we were, Dave, but we had a technical hitch. So we're just going to turn to God's word for the reading of it, okay? But hopefully next week we can sing that song. It's a song that they sing in Friday Rock, and I thought it would be really helpful for us as the church to sing it with the children. It's called Jesus Kind and Very Strong.
We're going to turn now to God's Word, to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 18. Revelation 2, reading from verse 18. These are the words of the Lord Jesus as he communicates in using this letter that the Apostle John writes. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service, and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into the great tribulation, unless they repent of her works, and I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his holy and inspired word. We're going to sing together, Oh, to See the Dawn.
Christ on the road to Calvary.
Now, before we open our Bibles, many of you do know that Patsy on Friday suffered a very serious stroke. She is comfortable. I was able to see her for a short time yesterday morning. I was able to spend some time with Dave and to pray with him and support him. She is very ill, but she is comfortable and she's in no pain, so we're thankful for that. So we're just going to remember her and Dave. Also, we remember Carol as she resumes her chemo on Wednesday. And for others, I know there are a number in the church who are this week either having some tests or scans or receiving results of tests and scans. And so these things just are a reminder to us that we're a needy people and we are in need of the Lord so much. We knew that, but these circumstances of life, they just remind us, don't they, just how weak and how much in need of Him we really are. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Lord, as we sometimes sing with the children, that Jesus is strong and kind. And Lord, we know that in these moments and circumstances of life, we are reminded of our weakness. We are reminded of our utter dependence upon you. So Lord, help us in these moments as we come to your word now. Help us to recognize that even in the sorrows and the pain and the struggles of life, and in our weakness, it is possible to experience the strength of our Savior. You have promised that when we are weak, then you are strong. And so, Lord, we, with this in mind, we do pray, especially for our dear sister Patsy. Lord, continue to be with her. Lord, she will hear your voice. She'll never stop hearing your voice. And I pray that in these moments, that she will be comforted knowing that you are with her. And Lord, we have no idea how much awareness she has of those in the room. But may she have that awareness of you. And for our dear brother Dave, be with him. We pray for Liz and for Jonathan and the family. We just pray that you'll surround them with all that they need. May they now, even in this moment, and in these moments that lie ahead, may they know your peace and your strength. May they know the peace of God that transcends all understanding. For dear Carol, we pray for her. Lord, we know that she's not been well of late, and yet you've undertaken for her. And we pray that she'll be able to resume her treatment and be with her and strengthen her even now. May she look to you and know that she's in your hands. And then we pray for each other. Lord, we deserve nothing from you. And yet you are a gracious and kind God, and you pour out your grace upon us. You lavish your grace upon us. So hear us and help us. And in these moments, forgive us of all that offends you. Forgive us of all that grieves you. And we ask and pray these things in the name of our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in the Book of Revelation, chapter 2, and we're going to consider this letter. It's actually, out of the seven letters, it's the longest letter to the smallest city. It's the letter to the church at Thyatira, and we read it from verse 18 to the end of chapter 2, and that'll make a nice little break as Viv and I take a few days off, and then you have Andrew Love. I don't know whether Andrew's preached here before, but he's a delightful brother. He and his wife were missionaries in Brazil for a number of years, and God's been blessing their ministry there in Clantrissant. And I have my mother's first cousin is one of his members, and she speaks highly of the ministry of Andrew. So I'm sure you'll give him a warm and gracious welcome, and I'm sure that you'll be blessed under his ministry next Lord's Day. But we come to this letter to the church at Thyatira. And again, we see the normal pattern that we've noted in the preceding letters to the church at Ephesus that had abandoned its first love, and to the church in Smyrna that was able to hold fast to the faith that they profess despite persecution, and in the church at Pergamum that basically had given in to the things of the world. They'd compromised their standing in the sight of the world. And so we come to this church of Thyatira, and it's a letter that I believe that no church would really want to receive. The opening verse here, it's a letter that Jesus Christ has dictated. The Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos has written this. It's been handed to the pastor or to the messenger to take it to the church. And so here we have the pastor of the church in Thyatira bringing this letter to read it. These are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. And again, it's a reference. We've seen this. It's a normal pattern. It's a reference to the vision that John had of the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 1. However, he is described in chapter 1 as the Son of Man. Eyes like fire, feet like burnished bronze. But here, we note that he's now described as, these are the words of the Son of God. And there's a difference, isn't there? That in chapter 1 of Revelation, that the emphasis is on, if you like, the humanity of Christ. That he is a compassionate and loving Lord and Saviour. And so he comes to rescue and to ransom and to heal, to restore and to redeem. But here now, the tone of this letter changes. And I think we've noted this before as we consider various letters in Scripture. The art of letter writing has long since gone. Very occasionally, Viv and I will receive a handwritten letter, which is quite unusual. But we have a friend in Neath, and she often writes to us. She could just pick up the phone. That would be far easier, wouldn't it? But she chooses to write a letter. And her style of writing, as Viv reads it to me, because I can't read her handwriting. See, I said, I've no idea what they're saying, love. Even with my glasses on, I can't read her writing. So she should have been a doctor, I think, but there we go. That's another story. So Viv will read it out. And as Viv reads this letter, I can literally hear her voice. Oh, that's June. That's June. And the tone of the letter that comes through so clearly is June all over. When this letter was read to the church of Thyatira, there was a deathly hush because they knew that they were hearing the very words of Jesus, who is described here as one who is going to come with his all-piercing eyes, who sees all things. He's going to come with feet like burnished bronze to trample out judgment. You see, whilst we note here in verse 19 that Jesus says, I know your works. Again, it's a familiar pattern. I know, I know, I know. Nothing can be hidden from the Lord. I know your works. I know your love and your faith. I know all that you do, your service. I know that you have endured with patience. I know. I've seen. And I've even recognized that your latter works, your recent works, have exceeded the ones that you took, that took place in the first instance. That your latter works exceed the first. I know. However, I have this against you. Now, from verse 20 to the end of verse 29, this is a solemn letter. It's a letter that comes with a forceful reminder, there's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That God treats and takes sin seriously. And as God takes and treats sin seriously, so he expects his church to do the same. And yet here is a church of Thyatira who clearly tolerates sin. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Everyone's doing it. What harm can it do? Oh, it won't matter. It might be a good way of bringing more people into the church. It doesn't matter. And the Lord Jesus Christ says it does matter. Because he takes sin seriously. And if this morning we need some reminder of how seriously he treats sin, we only have to look at the hymns we've been singing. As well as the reading of this passage before us.